A Columbia University ethnomusicologist spent 2 years on the Marshall Islands with a special group of women who sing about the consequences of living with the U.S. Cold War nuclear bomb tests. As Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports, her research unveils both their horrific experience and their struggle for justice.
From 1946 through 1958, 67 atmospheric, atomic, and thermonuclear weapons tests in 7 series were carried out by the United States at Bikini and Eniwetok atolls in the Marshall Islands. But it was the 15-megaton Castle Bravo hydrogen bomb, detonated in the winter of 1954 at Bikini, that yielded a much larger reaction than anticipated by scientists. Revealed as a radiological accident, the powerful blast dispersed hot debris in all directions for thousands of miles. All the residents of Bikini and nearby Eniwetok had been relocated. The people of Rongelap and Utrecht and other inhabited atolls downwind were exposed to extreme levels of radiation. It took government officials 3 days to evacuate islanders, who would end up becoming unwitting Atomic Energy Commission human research subjects. They and their descendants are nuclear refugees, their traditional land base destroyed. Some Rongelapis live on Majuro Atoll, and that's where Dr. Jessica Schwartz spent 2 years. As an ethnomusicologist and Mellon postdoctoral fellow at Columbia University, her journey to the RMI began with a fascination for atomic age American music.
Songs about the bomb. One of the songs that I heard was Shaboom by the Chords. You know, life could be a dream. And I read somewhere, actually a number of places, that the song was about the bomb. And I thought to myself, okay, well, this is kind of interesting.
She traced that atomic bomb song to the Marshall Islands, and that triggered her curiosity about affected islanders.
You know, did they have any songs about the testing? Did they have any songs about what was happening on their homelands? So I tried to find out. I found the Bikinian anthem online.
She was invited by Bikini activists to investigate. She moved to the RMI in 2008, took a position teaching middle school while becoming proficient in the Marshallese language. She also found herself at a meeting of the Marshallese Nuclear Claims Tribunal, established in 1988, to determine claims against the U.S. government by residents of the 4 affected atolls for damages conveyed by the nuclear test program.
And I was introduced to the Rongelapis women.
She made friends with a former Rongelap senator who invited Jessica to attend a funeral.
Of a woman named Roko Langenbelek. And Roko Langenbelek, she had been on Rongelap when the 1954 15-megaton bomb, codenamed Castle Bravo, was detonated, which irradiated, you know, the entire population. But the women were very generous, and when I appeared, they sang a song. Well, first Abaka, the former senator, introduced me to the women, and she stopped at one of the women and said, "This is Lejean, you know, the famous composer and musician Lejean." And Lejean had been a nuclear activist, or continued to be, and then they sang a song.
The song was composed to protest being barred from presenting their case to the U.S. Department of Energy.
So they threw a party for the Department of Energy, and they created this song called Kajitakanan Kwekia. The words say, "These are my questions for you now. Can you help me find a way to untangle myself and my family from these things that hinder us?" Those are the words of the first verse. A family member of hers translated that. And she's talking about the entire nuclear legacy, the medicines that they're taking, just feeling that they need to be working with the Americans to find a way out.
Another song describes how Rongelap bees were dislocated from their matrilineal land base, then returned years later at great risk.
The piece is called Tain Amokadarba. Rongelap bees were removed 2 days after the detonation of Castle Bravo, and they were relocated back to their atoll in 1957. The atoll was still contaminated, but the Rongelap bees were uninformed of this. They were monitored yearly by American doctors.
As part of a U.S. covert operation to study the long-term effects of radiation exposure on human subjects.
People were getting sick. The children were born, you know, I've been told without the, you know, backs of their heads, without their skulls, you could see their spines. Women were having miscarriages, just illnesses, cancers were, you know, pervasive. And they thought, you know, this something is up. We can't be here.
Now, while the songs may sound contemporary, Jessica Schwartz says traces of indigenous identity can be heard.
In songs, often people will hear certain songs as sounding Western, with a Western contoured melody, Western harmonies, and Western rhythms, metrically regulated. If you listen closely to a number of songs, you can actually hear aspects of chant, of roro, of the songs that some might hear simply as Westernized music. No, Marshallese are very determined at preserving and keeping their indigenous ways and modes of communication and expression, and I think that's really beautiful.
Thousands of Marshallese remain cut off from their indigenous land base, but thousands more are leaving the islands to create new lives in Hawaii, California, Washington, and Arkansas. And every year on March 1st, Islander communities around the world commemorate their nuclear legacy,
which has been called everything from Nuclear Victims Day to Nuclear Survivors Day and Nuclear Survivors and Victims Day. And in 2009, I attended one of these events in Majuro.
There, Jessica Schwartz heard a group of women sing about the medicines they were forced to take to mitigate the long-term effects of radiation poisoning.
About 3 minutes into the song, their voices drop. Now, the conductor, this woman, Betty, a Ranglapi's woman, who was present, I believe, when the bomb exploded, and has had 2 thyroid surgeries, she turns around to the audience, she shakes her head, and she points to her throat, points to her where the thyroid is, and she says, "Ah, thyroid." And then she turns back to the women, and their voices reemerge, and they harmonize together.
Jessica also recorded women singing the 177 song about a governmental agreement under a U.S.-RMI treaty, which recognizes and compensates islanders for the contributions made on behalf of U.S. national security during the Cold War atomic tests.
Oh,
the 177 chorus, they are saying, when I'm irradiated, I'm weak from thyroid disease and am abandoned. I feel lost and like a stranger.
Under the 177 agreement, the U.S. government declared a $150 million financial settlement for all damages caused by the U.S. nuclear test program. Of that, only $45 million has been paid out, considered by the Marshallese Nuclear Claims Tribunal as manifestly inadequate. Dr. Jessica Schwartz traveled to Arkansas this spring to present her findings at Northwest Arkansas Community College, where many Ozark Islanders were present. Her documented research, titled Voice to Sing, Runglap Bee's Musical Activism and the Production of Nuclear Knowledge, has been published in the peer-review academic journal Music and Politics, the Winter 2012 edition. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.